Okay, we'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for March 14, 2017 at 7 o'clock. If we could all rise to the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Evening, everyone. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. Anybody have anything that they want to comment that's good for the city? Okay, we'll move on then to agenda review and adoption.
Mayor and Council, just a few things I want to add to the consent agenda's January claims list. There was just a change for two ATCH payments. One ATCH payment for health insurance was deleted, moved to the February claims list. The amount of $27,2489, and also one of the ATCH payments to the Minnesota Department of Labor was adjusted by 9 cents. The other thing on the consent agenda, for my requested time off, I want to change the date, remove the 28th and be up March 29th and 30th, along with the 16th and 17th. That's the only additions I have, other than the handouts handed out by Mr. Hemsley, which will be discussed under item number 6.
Anyone from council have anything to add or adopt to the agenda? Look for a motion to adopt the agenda as amended.
Second.
Moving seconded to adopt the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And then look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mayor.
Yep.
On the water and wastewater report of February, I was reading here, roll number 2. It's 2 and 3 back here. That is all back here. Number 2, I read in here we're having problems with it. Did you find a problem?
We did. What we had is one of the transducers went out that kind of measures the PSI rating, which tells us, you know, when the tower is full or not. And yeah, we did get that replaced and worked out.
Okay, good. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. So I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Chief?
Have you guys got the copies?
No.
Tonight is just our annual township report. Our Secretary Hansen is passing them out right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a quick run through. Well, it's all there. The first page is it's our officers on the top. And the whole middle to bottom section where all our spending was last year. All expenses are in the regular font on the right, and all the money brought in is the bold on the bottom. The grants and donations we received were from Minnesota Board of Fire Training and Education, XL Energy, Minnesota DNR, Minnesota Valley Electric, and XL Energy. If we go to the second page, our calls in 2015 was 42 calls. 2016 we had 37. So it's all labeled there. Breakdown of what responses, where we went. So it was down a few from last year. Down on the bottom, our training hours were down a little. That's the total department hours. last page, it's just the fees for the two townships. The 2016-17 payments are on there. 2018, we need to meet with the fire board April 6th. So hopefully we can have that figured out by then, what next year's billing will be. Other than that, anyone has any questions or if you want to discuss any more with the billing for 2018?
How did the firefighters do in regards to percentage of calls made? Did any of them run into any issues?
No, I think it was 22, 24 was the lowest percent. Everybody was over 20, I know.
Okay, good. I was just curious how that worked out this year.
Yeah, everybody made the 20% mark, I know. I don't remember offhand what the lowest was because I know they all made it. So.
That's nice. That's all I was curious about. Anyone have any questions for the chief?
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, you left out. You showed up.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thanks for the opportunity to come over and visit for a few minutes. We have made the rounds throughout the cities, and we talked to the townships at their association meeting in the end of January about the half-cent transportation tax. Trying to go to the cities to find out if there's things. I think you probably have a copy of the list ahead of time, Jeremy, I would guess. So there might be something on there that you think should be on there, something not, maybe something in your area that you think should at least be talked about or put on the list. But we're not going to do a full-fledged presentation tonight. It'll be more of a question and answer type thing. With me is our county administrator, Mr. Dave Hemsey. And in a minute, I'll have him kick it off, and we'll go through this two-page piece or three-page piece that I think you got a copy of as well. So with that, again, thanks for the opportunity. We won't take up a whole bunch of your time, but we'd sure try to answer your questions if we could. With that, Mayor, I'll turn it over to Mr. Hemsey.
Yeah, if I could, Mr. Mayor, I'll give a really high-level review of the issue. Lyndon Robjan, our Public Works Director, we're tag-teaming tonight. He's over at Lake Town Township. This actually might be, this is our last city that we're visiting, so we visited everybody. And I can talk a little bit about the reception across the county if you'd like to hear that. But I would say, you know, what I have been saying in a lot of council chambers is I'd rather not be here talking about taxes, especially, you know, taxing for something that somebody else really should take care of. In this case, the state and federal governments. That's a pretty tough decision for the board to make. And, you know, it's tough for me to put them in that position. But let me explain why we're here, you know, really talking about that. You know, ironically, I think it was exactly a year ago I was here with Jim and we were talking about the Met Council. That's one of the issues. You know, we talked at the time, and I appreciate your support of a resolution asking for a governance change. If you look at the top of the staple handout, I got two handouts. I had one shows a zoom in of your area here, but the staple handout has a summary of the issues. You can see right at the top that the federal and state government are really cutting us out of the fiscal picture when it comes to expansion of roads. So if you look at highways like 212 and 5 and 41, we're calling ourselves a funding orphan, really. You know, part of that is, you know, a number of years ago when the Met Council changed their plan, their Thrive 2040 plan, they call it, that directed just about all the money into the urban core and transit and other more urban issues or centralized issues. And you can see also then the state of Minnesota, which again, that's a different entity than the Met Council, but their planning process also cut us out. And, you know, part of that is they simply don't have the funding. In terms of, you know, where we come in the priority list, we're coming behind projects like 94 that we've all driven, you know, through the Lowry Hill Tunnel and that's in need of significant upgrade. That alone wipes out, you know, their funding source. So between those two things, you know, we're looking at our own needs here. We want to solve problems, of course, as the board certainly does, at the local level. And we're looking at those roads as some of the more critical transportation problems that we have. And I think we can all appreciate that as we drive around on the state roads. But again, that's not an easy decision to make in terms of trying to put more money towards them. And you can see that there's a number of ways to look at the project lists and the funding sources, but what we've done is put together it came out to be 24 years, and really that's related to funding. And the funding sources we're talking about, the new ones are, as you mentioned, the sales tax, if you have percent on additional tax, taxation on the same things that are getting taxed now for sales tax purposes. And then the wheelage tax, which could go, right now we're at $10, and most of you probably recognize that as you pay your tabs, you see a $10 fee going toward the county in our road system. We currently have that at $10, that's about $880,000 a year. We could double that to $20 in any increment of $1. So again, the wheelage tax would raise about 880 grand a year. The sales tax would be about 102 million over those 24 year period. So it's roughly $4.5 million a year is what we're talking about between those two taxes. So you can see also, the last thing I point on this first page, this top page, is what's going on across the state of Minnesota, which I think is a pretty telling sign when you have the number of local governments, in this case counties, raising taxes across the state pretty much because of the needs that they have and the lack of federal and state funding. So we're not alone in trying to figure out a solution to a pretty significant problem. You know, I would also point out we're spending a lot of time talking about the state system, but we should also not forget, really I think our number one priority is our own roads. And we need to make sure we're not only, you know, making sure that they have the capacity to carry the cars that we have and are going to have over the next number of decades, but also that we're maintaining them. So we're also talking about putting additional dollars into maintenance. And for you in particular in this area, that's one of the key items I'd like you to focus on and consider. So to walk through the maps really quickly, if you flip to page 2, that first map is a combination of what we always have in place, which is we call our 5-year CIP plan, which is the second page. It's a combination of that second page and then the third page, which are the additional projects that are currently unfunded that we don't have revenue streams or anticipated revenue streams for. So again, the first map is a combination of all the needs out there. The second map is what we currently have in the next 5 years in terms of what we feel we could fund. And then the third map is that unfunded project list map, which between the sales tax and the wheelage tax, we feel we could add those to the list. We're also asking cities as we travel around, let us know if there's some items that aren't on the list that or on the maps that you feel should be, or if you want to give us an indication of what your priorities are. If you have a number of projects, we'd like to know that too. And the last map in the staple packet shows that. It shows requests that have come in from the eastern side cities in particular. And then finally, the one pager, to bring it closer to home, shows the surrounding area here, and in particular the green projects are the unfunded overlays, or really rehab projects. And Lyndon does a better job of explaining this than I ever could, but we're moving to a new system where we're actually going down a little deeper, not a complete removal of the infrastructure, but going down a little bit deeper and rehabbing those so that we're not doing a complete reconstruction, which would cost more money, but yet getting some pretty good value out of the infrastructure by doing sort of a middle-of-the-road approach to rehab. And, you know, those in green are the ones that are not funded under current revenue streams that the sales and wheelage tax would help out. The big one, of course, is 212. It looks a little pinkish here, but it's red. That project between Cologne and Nord Young America, which we've all driven, that's a sizable one, you know, and obviously that's a state project too, that we would want to try and get funded with these new revenue streams. I think one thing that's maybe a little misunderstood here is we're not letting the state off the hook. You know, we want them to contribute a sizable amount. You know, we want this to be a local match, but we want them to match also. You know, we haven't necessarily defined a dollar amount, so it's really going to be a case-by-case basis if this moves ahead. You know, 212, for example, we're hoping for a grant, a fast lane grant that we've applied for. You know, if those things don't show up, we don't think they're going to happen from our end. You know, we still need, again, the state to contribute. This is another supplemental funding source that really the strategy here is to have a pretty significant funding source to start design on these projects to get momentum, to get them off the ground, really, and then to bring the state and the federal government with us. So, you know, we feel if we don't start them, they're not going to happen. And we're hoping that changes. We're hoping that they drive these, no pun intended, more so than they have been. I don't see it personally in the future. I just don't see the Met Council changing real quickly here in the federal or the state funding streams. I don't see those being filled up real quickly either. But if that happens and they do step up to their obligations, one of the nice things about these taxes we're talking about is they're under local control, literally the board's control. So the board can turn them on, they can turn them off. You know, they're very flexible in that regard. So that's one of the attractive parts about the proposal here. You know, and again, obviously taxation is a tough thing to do, but it's local control and it's flexible. So we can push certain angles on these various projects depending on our priorities and really try and obtain additional funding that we feel we wouldn't otherwise get. And the best example would be Scott County that implemented the sales tax a few years ago. They're doing a project right across the river on 169 and 41, as you take 41 across the river, that intersection. They obtained roughly $45 million in additional external funding because they had the sales tax revenue to get that thing started. So, you know, that's obviously some sizable money and a big problem that they're solving that isn't necessarily, again, a county problem. That's a state problem, really, you know, 169. So, you know, a quick summary of a pretty complex topic. I think, Mr. Mayor, you may have seen the full presentation during our Carver County Leaders meeting. So you understand the complexity of this. But at this point, I think I would just stop and open it up for questions or comments. You know, we are asking if you want to consider a resolution. I saw that was in your packet. Also, I saw in your packet, you called it a maintenance agreement. It's really a proposed cost share agreement on the state roads. And really, for you, it doesn't impact you. You don't have a state road cutting through your city that we're talking about upgrading. But for the cities that it does, we're telling those cities that we're not going to put additional burden on their levy, that we're going to cover, along with the state or federal revenue sources, we're going to cover those projects, like 212 or 41 or Highway 5. So we wanted to put that policy together to take the pressure off the cities with those state projects. Really, that's what that's about. And again, that's not as much an issue for you as it is for other cities that have state roads cutting through them. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I would open it up for questions. Unless Commissioner Ishii has other comments.
No, any questions?
Council, any questions?
I under the understanding here that there's 22 other counties in the state that are on board with this.
I think there's 26.
26
have already put the sales tax into effect, and Ramsey County was
Cloud County in board.
Pardon?
Is Sibley County and Cloud County, are they on board?
Both of them have the wheelage tax.
Wheelage, yep.
But not the sales tax.
They don't have the sales tax.
No.
That's this colored map here, so there's some combinations out there.
I've seen that.
And then there's, you know, the inner gray there, that's That's the County Transit Improvement Board that they had their own separate law to allow for really the transit system, not only trains but buses. They are now in the process of disbanding. You may have read about that. And they want to instead grab the same half cent we're talking about, or some of them might go back to a quarter cent depending on where this all ends up. You know, they're too a little frustrated with how they've ended up with that combination of counties in the CTIP group.
And the money that's generated, Jimmy, that just stays right in the county that generates it, right?
Yep.
So whatever's generated in the cloud stays in the cloud.
Yep.
So how do we justify when the people of West come driving in and we're paying a sales tax and they're just paying a wheelage tax? And they're driving on a state federal road. Wouldn't we be better off to put up a gate and say, throw a buck in the pot?
Yeah. I wish we could do that. I think we could generate a lot of money, but that's exactly what we're experiencing today, of course, is the traffic movement from west to east. And
because in the morning, if you sit here on 31 or 2512 there just by the bridge, that's just a line of cars at 4:30 till 7:30 in the morning. It's just a line of headlights coming at you.
Yep.
And I just think it's kind of unfair that, I mean, yeah, people got to get to work, but...
Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
How can we make it fair across the board that everybody pays a little bit more, and let's get it done then?
The state should be taking care of those roads is what it boils down to.
Exactly.
And the fact is, they don't have any money. And when we built that 101 bridge, I mean, we've already partnered with the state on different projects, Highway 41. The 101 bridge, we borrowed the state $18 million. The county did. And they're paying us back. But it gives you an idea of what their financial situation is. And they don't seem to have enough guts, I'll say, in the legislature to either increase the sales tax or gas tax that would indeed work toward them having a little more funding for their own roads. If they raise a dime of sales tax, you know, all the counties get a cut of that as well, but the county's cut would be about $1.1 million a year if they raised it a dime. And we all buy gas every week. We know that gas is right now maybe $2.15 one day, $2.25 or $2.30 the next, maybe $2 and a nickel a week or two later. So it varies a lot as it is. But we talked to Mr. Dowd long before the session started, late last fall, and he said that there's not going to be a gas tax increase in the House of Representatives, and he's not real sure how great a need there really is on the state roads. Is what he said that
day. Did he not just say we have a surplus?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would agree with you, Council Member. It's not the fairest of solutions, but it's a solution. And, you know, as the legislature's fought, you know, I've been in this business decades, and they've fought for decades, and they haven't come up with solutions. It's always one group, like the rural counties fighting against the metro counties, or, you know, the gas tax. They just couldn't seem to figure out a way to come up with a fair increase. So, you know, that's the point. It's not the best solution, but it's a solution. And I do think it's problematic that we're solving their problems, but we're solving them. You know, but again, I really think our legislators are doing what they can. You know, I think they're fighting for us as hard as they can. There is some state money in the mixture here. A good example would be the 101 road up the bluff from the new bridge. You've all probably all driven that. Pretty windy and it's got to be updated. It's terrible. That's a $25 million project. There's a turnback fund that the state has that we've been told we're the next in line, right? So that's state money that's supposedly going to come in and pay for that project. Now it's under attack by the legislature or some legislators, right? To take that and allocate it somewhere else. But our legislators are fighting for that. They're helping us out to try and keep that in play. So I wouldn't say that they haven't totally ignored their obligation, but we're talking some pretty big projects here that we're really concerned that you know, we're setting a pretty bad precedent. But again, it's a solution. You know, it's a solution to a problem that, you know, I think if you look at it this way, if you travel the roads, you know, where are the worst roads? you know, what roads are most congested, what roads are the least safe. For the most part, they're the state roads.
Well, you know? Sorry to interrupt you, but the most roads are anybody that's got idiots driving that's got a cell phone. That's the most dangerous roads.
Yeah.
Because I drive a lot of roads when I go to work, and I see them out there. And the worst stretch is between Cologne, that stretch of four lane between Cologne and Jackson.
Yeah.
All this and this.
No, it's another issue.
You see it all. I ain't kidding you. It's bad.
Well, I don't doubt it a bit. Yeah.
So my thing is, I love that the county is trying to be proactive in trying to do something. But I guess what I'd ask you guys, has anything been done by counties, other cities, not just Carver County, all the counties, getting on their legislators and let them know about this shortfall that we have? I mean, what I'm afraid of is go and do a half-cent sales tax, and then does the state feel like they're getting let off? Oh, counties are taking care of themselves, they'll take care of themselves. And then does it dissipate even any of the funding? I mean, my concern is, I think the voice needs to be heard from the cities and the counties to the state level. I guess I don't know if we're just starting at the county level or if we've gone to the state level to our, you know, some of the head people to let them know, hey, infrastructure needs to be priority one in this state. I mean, we've talked about it with the bridge collapse. It's been talked about. And yeah, some things are getting done, but all you hear is there's no money. Nobody wants to pay taxes, but
I think
you guys have been in this business. You know as well as I do.
For the counties,
where does your money come from?
Exactly. Taxation. I think for the counties, it's just like the cities working through the League of Minnesota Cities and their lobbyists and group like that. It's the same situation for counties all over the state. When you're in the outer ring of the metro area like we are, we have this, and it's all the way around, this enormous influx of employees every morning and every night, just like Scott talks about. I cross at Bungard's most mornings around 5:30, 5:45. And if you come there at that time, it's not too bad, but if you come there at 6 or 6:30, you can't hardly get across that road. I mean, it's risky at best, as most of you, I'm sure, know.
And to tell you the truth, the job you guys have been doing over the years, my dad worked for Carver County Maintenance. I've been with him since I was knee-high to a grasshopper building roads and stuff, so this ain't my first rodeo when it comes to building roads, but I'll take Carver County roads any day of the week over almost any county. But the state roads are terrible. They're terrible. And if that state legislature and people can't see that, well, then they need to open up their eyes and they need to start driving some roads.
Exactly. When you take a road like 284 that still carries a lot of traffic from Cologne to Waconia, if you drive that now in the spring of the year, I see Jeremy shaking his head. You better hang on because it's just unbelievable.
Well, why did he not drive Highway 5? They'll take 10 over 212, get on 212 and go in. They don't even take Highway 5. They drive from Waconia. Highway 10, Carver County 10 in the morning is a zoo.
Well, when
that handles a lot of traffic.
When we built that road, Scott, there was about 7,500 vehicles a day on that road. Now it's just north of 20,000.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that road's a good example of when the game was a little bit more in our favor. That road was paid for mostly with federal funding. You know, and again, they changed the rules. They used to have various pots for roads like that, freeways, and other kinds of roads. Now they put them all in one. So we can't compete with the interstate, right? That's really what happened in a nutshell. That cut us out of a pretty critical source for us for our own road systems, you know, not to mention the state problems.
On this map here, what's the white ones for?
They haven't implemented either the wheelage or the sales tax, so they're at the 6.5%. Well, they paid sales tax of 6.5%.
That's it.
Yeah. Right.
Right counties don't pay.
I mean, they've got Highway 12 going through there, and that's working up in Delano the last few years. I'll tell you what, they've got a problem there.
Right. That's a safety concern, if nothing else, for sure.
How much of our current company budget right now do we spend on roads and bridges and infrastructure of that?
Well, I think the best way to describe that is when you look at the graph here, on the front page, the blue portion. Those are our county revenue streams, our current county revenue streams projected over 24 years. So things like levy, for example, that are being allocated towards road projects. So it gives you a little bit of an idea that, yeah, we have our own funding sources.
But what's the percentage of our current budget we're allocating towards that?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where that's at.
And then would you know then what the additional funding would be as far as percentage as well, or would we need to look up that one?
I think, again, the pie chart gives you a relative flavor for the additional funding in green, or I'm sorry, in red,
right,
which is the shortfall. It gives you a little bit of an idea. It's nearly a doubling of what we have in terms of
the revenue
stream.
I guess the reason I ask the question is because what we do when we're doing our budget here at the city, and I know we're much smaller than we're looking at the county and the responsibilities the county has in regards to roads and bridges. We try not to allocate the funds like local government aid or what you guys would get would be state aid to other things than just setting it aside for kind of a wish list. And so we know that a certain percentage of our budget is going to be budgeted to roads. In the grant, we don't mean bridges in town, but roads in that. And so we usually will set aside that LGA money as a bonus, so to speak, to help maybe take care of some of the wish list items like we have here. So my question is if what I'm just going to throw out a percentage. Let's say the percentage, and this is probably way low, let's say the percentage of the county budget for roads and bridges is 10%. And we're going to add another $4 million a year. Are we significantly moving the needle in that 10%, or are we just putting another tax on the citizens of Carver County where we could maybe take a 10% from someplace else in the budget and make the transportation budget 20% without raising taxes?
It's an option. It's a tough one, though.
Oh,
it's pretty significant dollars. You know, we've been through the exercises and done our fair share of cutting, you know, and part of what's difficult, and I'm sure it's the same with you, but in counties in particular, many of the discretionary items where you would cut the significant money, those are some pretty popular things. You know, those are parks, those are libraries, and arguably, yeah, those are discretionary, you can cut them. Those are tough. That's a tough trade-off, especially when you're talking about several million dollars, right? You know, so, you know, that's, I think, something that should be done, could be done, but to this scale, I just don't think it's realistic, you know, to try and come up with this kind of money through discretionary service cuts.
And at the last Southwest Transit meeting, I know we have one coming up on Friday, but the last one, there was talk about this sunsetting at some point in time. Is that still the plan, or are the thoughts that this wouldn't sunset? I mean, I noticed other counties obviously have it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming those aren't sunsetting, but it was talked about that this would sunset at that meeting anyway.
It's possible. It's really up to the board and where they go with this. And, you know, we need to regroup on the March 28th meeting, by the way. I have one member that may be absent. I want them all five in the room when we get to the point where they're providing direction, because the board can do a number of things. They could definitely say sunset in 10 years or pick your time frame. Obviously, that scales back the number of projects you're going to put on the list, so you're going to have to prioritize, which is fine. They could also say, you know, one and not the other. You know, they could say wheelage tax and not sales tax. Now, that's about roughly a third of the revenue that we're talking about here. So I think that I'm looking forward to that discussion. The nice thing is the board has control over all those things. We don't need to go to the legislature and convince a majority there, one thing or the other. You know, our local governing board has that, I think it's a pretty good luxury, and I give the legislature control or credit for that local control on one hand. On the other hand, I think they did it intentionally to sort of pass the buck along. But stay tuned, because that's why, you know, we had discussions early January, and the board members asked, well, let's get some input, you know, from the councils, from the public. We have a website where folks can go on a forum and offer their input. So, you know, over the last 2 months, that's what we've been doing. And I do think it's a tough call for board members.
Okay. And has anything come down from MnDOT in regards to the freight highways, the freight corridors? I know that was mandated or brought, the federal government shot that down to the state government to make that decision. But if my concern is that if Carver County starts creating a fund to fund the expansion 212, which I think we should be expanding 212, that we may lose the freight corridor aspect of it. And then therefore, because my understanding from the Southwest Transit meetings that we've had and the general meetings that we've had, that from what I'm hearing from MnDOT, and maybe I'm hearing it wrong, correct me if I'm honest, that it sounds like they want to identify the freight corridors, and that's where the funding is going to go to. Well, if we have a funding source in place to take care of 212, does that kind of put us in a different boat and take us away from that freight corridor?
Well, again, Mr. Mayor, I'll go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think Mayor Lunda does, we expect it to do exactly the opposite.
Okay.
Highway 212 is considered what they call a corridor of commerce now. We've got a new title for it. But we applied for what's called a fast lane grant back in probably November, October, I'm not exactly sure. They were going to award those in January. Now they moved it into later March, so we don't know what will happen there. It's a pretty classic example of if they were to grant the county expansion of 212 from Carver to Cologne would cost about $38 million, we're told. Excuse me. Without this tax, I don't know how we can come up. Our share would be about $10 million as a county. Without doing something like this or looking to at least considering something like this, we have no idea how we can cover our end of the bargain unless we're going to start doing some pretty heavy-duty bonding. And that's the biggest reason we've gone round and round. Ramsey County today, I saw in the news at supper time, had a public hearing today. Did you see that? On this exact subject. And of course, it's a different world in Ramsey County. But they decided to put this on their agenda as a public hearing, publish that. Next week, they're going to vote on it. I'm pretty confident they'll pass it. I'd be very surprised if they didn't. We tried to take a different approach here to come around and see all the councils, mayor and councils, talk to the city administrators and things, and try to get a feel of what the thoughts are out there. We wouldn't be proposing this or considering this if we didn't think that if we don't do something, we're going to end up with some awfully tough roads in 10 years or 15 or 20 years and have no idea how we're ever going to repair some of them. We think with the tax, we'll be able to leverage considerable money from both the state and the federal government, because the counties that have imposed this, that's pretty much exactly what has happened for them. So like in the case of 212, Chris, if we have some funding available or funding in the bank, we think we've got a much better chance of receiving some grants that'll pay for the vast majority of the project.
And I could wish Linda was here to give all the numbers, but I know that he had a tough job of really having, this is a budget document as we look out 24 years. It's pretty tough to predict 1 year, and now we're talking about 24. But I know on 212, for example, he assumed we were receiving a fast lane grant. So if we don't get it, we're short, and quite frankly, we're not going to allocate money toward that project, other than maybe for some design to get it going. But certainly not $35 million. It's not in the numbers. I know that Commissioner Malucic was at the Capitol today because I talked to him this afternoon, advocating for that corridor to get grant funded. So I think we need to be smart about it. We don't need to just throw this money out there and pay for the entirety of state roads. We need to leverage these dollars. And if there is no leverage there, then we don't do them. That's, I guess, the bottom line from my perspective.
So what you're saying, Dave, is that the commissioners can shut this down at any time if they. So if we don't get any money from the state to help pay for this, can we just take that money and use it back in our own county roads?
Right, it can be reallocated, right.
On roads that we don't get any state or federal aid anyway. And we'll just use that money then. It's not just going to sit there. We're going to put it back into our roads.
The law is pretty flexible, I think intentionally so. And one requirement is that you do have a project list. When you hold a public hearing, and part of that public hearing is you're saying, look, we want to raise taxes. Here's what we're going to pay or use those revenues for. That's this unfunded project. We would show this and say, here are the things that we're advocating to pay the revenue for. But you can also go back, have another public hearing, and change this list. So again, very flexible I do think, it's not tough to predict, this list is going to change. I mean, 24 years from now, we just can't predict that far out. I'm hoping that there's more external revenue coming in than Linden is anticipating, just like it happened at Scott County. Now again, it's a tough thing to predict, especially with all the dynamics going on at the Capitol. And there's changing dynamics. As I mentioned, CTIP is now, some of them are thinking of getting into this half-cent sales tax business, which, maybe they're going to be competing for some of the same grants that we are. Although for the most part, I've heard that their priorities are more about busing and trains, which I'm hopeful that, we can still, if this goes as planned, sort of maintain our leverage on roads and bridges. Because that one's easy to predict with the current board. They're not interested in trains. They want roads and bridges funded.
And if my memory serves me right from the last Southwest Transit meeting we had, and it's not in the resolution that they're passing around, but the funds, since it is taxed in this manner, has to go towards transportation, right? It has to, it goes into a special fund. It doesn't go into the general.
No, it has to go into transportation. It could go into transit, busing. We're not proposing that. We're proposing, obviously it's a list, it's all roads and bridges. Including overlays, by the way. There's, I think Linden had 20 million of this, of the total pot here going into rehab and overlays, which is I don't know exactly what the increase is. I think we have $1 million per year allocated. I think he's doubling it, but don't quote me on that. Now, he'll be around Friday morning too if you have some questions. I'm going to go to that meeting too in Chaska.
Yeah.
If you have specific questions on budget.
Well, I know the last time when we talked about this at the last meeting, I had asked them if they could put in the resolution, the statute that requires us to put it in that type of enterprise fund. And I thought that they were going to do it, but I haven't seen a resolution with that information on it. And the only reason why I ask for that is because we know from time to time that sometimes creative accounting can be done on levels of government. Even though the statute says one thing, sometimes it seems like it doesn't get used in quite the right direction that it's meant to. And like you say, it could be used for transit, even though we're talking about roads and bridges. Kind of like the legacy fund is supposed to be used for a number of things, but I would argue the vast majority of the money goes not for roads and bridges, as it was originally intended, partly intended, I should say.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, the statute's not that long. I think there's a number in here somewhere. I don't see it right off the bat, but I've read it. I don't recall it saying a specific fund that you have to put the money in. It's more about you need to identify the projects that you're going to use the revenue on. That's the key behind the statute. So your intent in terms of raising revenue, what are you going to spend it on? And the intent to me of this board is very clear, roads and bridges.
Who makes up the board?
The county board?
Yeah.
Well, myself, and that covers District 5 that we live in, covers a little over half the county in geographical size from New Germany down to Hamburg over to, and including the city of Carver. Commissioner Tim Lynch from up in Hollywood Township has 3 townships up there. We have 7 of the 10 townships in our commissioner district here. He has the other 3, Watertown, Waconia, and Hollywood. He also has the cities of Waconia and Watertown. And then Victoria and Chan and Chaska have 3 commissioners. They're obviously population-based, so redistricting occurs in our county every 10 years because our county grows, every 10 years enough to make that a necessity. And Commissioner Tom Workman lives in Chanhassen. Commissioner Gail Degler lives in Chanhassen. And Commissioner Randy Maluchnik lives in Chaska. And those 3 cities pay about 68% of all the property taxes paid in our county. The city of Chanhassen, if this half-cent sales tax goes into effect, 40% of all the tax that's paid in this county will be paid by the city of Chanhassen. We expect, we don't know exactly to a percent, but we expect and believe, based on Scott County's, is about 10% higher than ours. We expect about 20% of this tax to be paid by people that don't live in our county, that come here to do business. If you get over to Mills Fleet Farm, I think, and you've probably all been there, and you stand at the cash register, what's your zip code? Yeah. They're trying to figure out where to put their advertising dollars. And they do a lot of business at that store that comes from the West, just like the employees come from the West every morning and every night. So we expect about 20% of this tax in Carver County to be paid by non-county residents. But just to give you an example, Chanhassen will pay about 40% of this tax. I was going to add one more thing, Mayor, if I could. As we look at this over in Scott County, when they did this a couple of years ago, we kind of stood back and watched, and of course other counties have chimed in since that time. They did not list the county road project on their project list. They were all state roads, which is almost surprising. Apparently they must think they've got enough money to handle their state road or their county roads, but we've got a variety of county roads in here because I think that's still our highest priority. We've got some bridges that need to be repaired and different things, but and as you know, sitting in your seats, it's not easy going around proposing a tax of any kind.
Any other questions the council has?
The only other thing I want to tie in is, so then, that this proposed cost participation policy, is that going to kind of go in place with the sales tax instead of like a county road maintenance agreement that we were talking about last year? Or how's that going to tie in with, you know, city responsibility for county roads, what the county's responsibility are, county roads within cities? How's that going to tie into all this?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Jeremy, there are two different things. That the maintenance agreement that you're working with Mike Legg on, that's a different document. No, and again, this wasn't necessarily a maintenance agreement; it's a cost share agreement for these state projects.
Okay,
so it doesn't impact your city.
And then, do you have any update on that?
I just lit a fire under Lyndon to light a fire under Mike. So hopefully, I think what happened was it got caught up in the attorney's office between us and the city of Waconia attorney.
Yeah.
They'll teach us to give it to an attorney. It slowed it down, but we'll get it done.
Okay.
It's an important document that's really outlived its usefulness. I think it's 20 years old or whatever, you know.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Like a County Road 50 coming into town, we got it overlaid last year, and there was a crosswalk between the bank and the park, and that went away. I don't know how many years ago,
two years ago,
there was a little kid that was going down to the park and got hit. And I guess I want to know why that crosswalk was taken away.
I'll check that.
The reason that crosswalk wasn't put in,
okay,
because we don't have a handrail on that side of the road.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, there was something to do with requirements. Because I believe I've talked to Lyndon on that issue.
I know in some cities they've had to tear out a chunk of curb and put in a...
Yeah, we didn't have a handrail on the...
On the south side, huh?
Park side of the road.
That's okay. The only reason. I mean, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
I think there should be a...
Well, it's up to the city to put a handrail in.
They don't really have a...
But we'll look into that. We'll talk to Lyndon about it and find out what's cooking.
Is there, like... You know, a number of years ago when we did the whole city of
New Germany
and Young America.
Yep.
Young America. When we did the county road, we had so much extra dirt. I had brought it up, and I have nobody, I guess, at work. I mean, who's going to listen to me? But we had all this extra nice dirt clay. We hauled it to a farmer south of town here. We could have taken that dirt and we could have put shoulders on from the intersection to town on 50 coming into town really easy. Is that something that in the future, if we do get jobs, we're always looking to go usually with some place with dirt. Is something like that workable with the county to do, to keep in mind, or is it just too much?
No, I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Or too much ribbons and paperwork to go through and do all this stuff.
I would assume Lyndon would want to have some type of project in preparation of that. You know, to have an idea of what it's going to take and where you'd add dirt, what you'd have to do before you added dirt, things like that. But it'd be a great idea. Because
basically all you really need to do is take a dozer out there, strip the black dirt back, put the clay in, sheet what you need, two pieces of equipment, and maybe a little signage, and you'd have it done. And we'd have shoulders up there now instead of going right to the edge of the
right, road, right.
Falling off.
And that's
been a fix. It would have been great. It would have helped the county. It would have helped the contractor. I mean, is that something in the future?
Yeah, something I'll bring up to Linda, and we'll keep an eye on it. It's probably a coordination issue, number one.
Yeah.
Timing and maybe a design contract. Well, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do something that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? Scotty, to chime in on that, we council's talked about that for years. Not just 50 there, but 50 out here, too, just because you have the school there, too, that if there was... You wouldn't imagine all the kids that are on 50 and 31. Mm-hmm. Every day I go to work, especially in the summer, there are 10 kids biking in Norwood.
Yeah.
There's no shoulder. You know, so that's kind of some of the concerns we have when there's future improvements done.
Right, yeah. I'll bring that up.
We were really hoping that, the railroad would have got abandoned, that we could have got the nice bike trail too, like they did out by the New Germany Mayor area there, but that kind of fell through.
One reason, Scotty, but that I questioned that too in the county some years ago when I was in here, especially days then. Same thing. The reason it isn't done is the county don't have enough easement there to do it. They have to get a wider easement.
That would make sense. Yeah.
I think normally you have like a 60 or better foot easement, and I don't think you even have 60 anymore.
That's tough to buy a property these days, too. We've been in that business for quite some time.
But even if you just did something, you brought it out another foot or so and sloped it down, just sloping it would help. It's better, it's better than nothing, because right now, you know what, Jimmy?
You bet.
It's like this.
Yep.
And in the wintertime, I've seen cars slide over a little bit, and they're gone.
Yep.
I'll still follow up on it, see if there's any solutions.
Council, any other questions, even if it doesn't pertain to really what the county commission and Minister McKenzie are here for? We don't get them out here that often, so might as well take advantage if they're sitting over there.
Most of it's been said, I guess. Yeah.
Thanks for coming out, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the time.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, again, the resolution is up to you, but the board is looking for input. So, however you can provide that, it's a good thing. It's a tough decision.
Is there a timeline to get this?
Well, I'd asked for what is it? What's the date?
14th.
Tomorrow. I'd ask for March 15th for the resolutions, but we set that in anticipation of the 28th meeting. We might have to move that meeting. I still need to figure out, because I only have 4 out of 5 members, but sooner rather than later, because really that input is key to assist board members.
If this goes through, do you have a startup date that you want to sooner as possible, or do you have a date that you would
start? If it would pass, it takes 90 days for it to cycle through the state's financial system, and then they start it after that date on the start of the next quarter, whenever that would be.
Wheelish tax is a little different because that doesn't take effect until the first of next year. So, and we'd have to make a decision by August 1st. But we're proposing them at the same time. So, it's really on board direction, but relatively quick. For a pretty significant decision like that. But thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And also, if anybody else has any additional questions or want additional follow-up, Southwest Transit is busy on Friday at 7:30 in Chaska, which this will get talked about in greater detail. We'll go ahead and move on then to... Does anybody have any strong feelings one way or another? I know from talking with other mayors that not many of them, I don't know of one actually, that council that went ahead and made this official. And I know of no council that went and made a resolution opposite of it. A lot of councils that I've been talking to have just kind of let it die on the vine, so to speak. It's interesting with Commissioner Ishii because he's not running for re-election, so he doesn't have to really worry about his vote. And I believe there is at least, I don't want to speak a name, but I think there's another one that's not going to be running when they come up with their election. So there's two votes there. Just all they need is one more vote on the commissioners to go ahead and do it. And from what I've heard, they may have that vote anyway. And it may be a 3-2 vote, which is something rare, I guess, to the county. We don't know. There's no...
I talked to roughly, I'm going to say, probably 20, maybe 25 people over the last week and a half on something like this, on this issue, and just got to feel them out. And they said, no, we've got a water tower to take care of. And, you know, these people are older people, and they're on fixed income. And, I don't blame them. They don't drive these roads. And I'm not saying that we should hold back the future, but I'm saying why the hell should we pay for it when everybody, Wild County, Pacific County, everybody else comes in? The state needs to step up and take care of it.
That's my concern, is that by doing this, you know, have other counties set a precedent, and by Carver County doing it, does this trickle down in the state kind of?
Yeah. I feel like this is a chess match of sorts.
Yeah, the state I really think it needs to be pushed at the state level before we look at bringing it to the county level.
Yeah, because like you said, the state's going to say, if we start pulling our weight, not saying we should or shouldn't or that we aren't, like you said, then what's it going to say? Well, you guys got 30% of it. Now you can do 40. Yeah, now you can do 50.
You got enough money.
Yeah.
Jason, anything else to add? Subtract or delete? Well, if I'm hearing the council, it sounds like we don't need to belabor this point any further. So let's go ahead and move on then to old business, plumbing planning review agreement with MINSPEC.
If you recall, we kind of talked about this when MINSPEC came out, I believe it was our January meeting, and talked about plumbing planning review agreement. What we kind of put together is a simple ordinance. I'm in favor of having... you know, MINSPEC take care of our plumbing planning review. It'll speed up the process, especially when we have, a commercial project, or even if we move forward with Timberland Wood Products. That will speed up that permitting process also. Where it's really going to speed up is on commercial projects and even projects we would have. So I'm in favor of doing it. Only thing is, I look to the council. If they're in favor and follow along, is that we look at setting probably a public hearing to adopt this ordinance at the next council meeting. So basically what the agreement is it allows then MINSPEC, they had to go through a process to get from the state the ability to do the planning review. They've gotten that now from the state, so they have the ability to do the plumbing review. And it's just, to me, it's a quicker, easier process than having to go deal with another entity. So I don't know if council has any, and like they said, some of the benefits, retention of fees, so that's, ain't a lot for us because we don't do, volume and permits, but, they talk about 5 to 6 weeks turnaround when at the state level. I mean, that's a long time away for a permit.
I mean, it does definitely would streamline our process.
Yeah. It gives us a little more oversight of the project, too.
There's no fee for us or anything?
No, it'd be the whoever's the applicant.
Any thoughts from the council?
I'm all for it. I mean, particularly, I think you'd know best if it's, like, it's good.
Look for a motion to...
Is MINSPEC okay with this?
Yeah.
So I look for a motion then to hold a public hearing at 6:30 on April 6:45 on April
11th, I believe, is it? Right, April 11th.
Yes, it is April 11th.
Make a motion to accept the MINSPEC plumbing plan on 6:45 on August 11th or April 11th.
Second.
Moved and seconded to hold a public hearing on the MINSPEC plumbing review plan at 6:45 on April 11th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Mark the calendars. We'll be here early.
Yep. And I'll note that on the agendas.
Industrial Park. They're just finishing up. We were hoping the engineers would be at this meeting, but they're just finishing it up this week, the feasibility study that we had done on the Industrial Park area. So Justin Black will be at the next meeting. I have confirmed that with him, so he will be here at the April meeting to discuss that. And I will try to get possibly Donnie Dahman and Mr. Maltz here at that meeting too, so we can get the process rolling and get all the requirements hashed out too at that time. Yeah, that'll at that meeting wall. I think there's a little bit of a hold up because some people may be aware of some issues, family issues that have arisen. So I haven't pushed that issue as much. Family personal issues.
Okay. Well, then go ahead and move on to new city business. Hopefully, everybody had a chance to review the estimate from Rob's Electric for the at the park.
Yeah, so what we had is there was two lights on this side. The sensors went back so they could stand on all day. So while we had a look at that, Steve had mentioned to him, you know, what about the flag lights? Because, you know, them are constantly going out. Them are expensive bulbs. They are high-pressure sodium bulbs, so they suck some serious juice. So we were thought, you know, try to save some money, what it would cost to, you know, retrofit them to LED. So basically looking at about $545, but as you can see, in 1.3 years, it pays for itself. I mean, to me, no-brainer. I also talked to Greg about this. Greg feels, too, we should probably look at doing the other flagpole down in the park at the same time, the same thing. I mean, them lights are on all night. The other thing, Greg was hoping maybe they could lower them lights because they're up so high that if they possibly can lower them lights, where they'd still be effective and accessible, so that way Greg could change the bulbs because right now we almost need a boom truck to change them. So, and then at that same time, not this time, but when they would come out, we'd look at maybe the water treatment plant. That's the same thing. I would get a price on that, but this would be about the cost for each light pole. So
that was commercial
$545.
So that would probably that might be a little bit more. For that light
pole, it might be a little more work if they have but for lowering them.
Would it be something?
Something I can have them do this and then get an estimate on that and bring it back. Could be, because if they got to bring their boom out too, we could possibly have to pay for that too. So.
Well, the three lights down on the ground,
they're all for the monument. They're all sodium, high pressure sodium lights.
Well, I would say let's get estimates from the other two poles. Sure. If they come in to do one, maybe we'll do all three the same day, and we get a little bit of a labor break on the
deal. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
And as long as he's here, at the water treatment plant, you said yet.
We'll just get that estimate for the whole spiel. Bring that quote back for it to the council then. Like you said, maybe get a better pricing.
Yep. No, I'd say let's wait until we see, because like I said,
I'll have them do it for each individual one, and then I'll have them group them together and see if there's a cost saving.
Okay, we'll move on then to city council reports. Councilman Buckentine?
No, I have nothing.
Councilman Tracy?
Nope, I have nothing.
Councilman Trevish?
Yes.
working with Malls, and I've not gotten that plan yet. They don't do doors, so it would just be from a customer for the desk. I also had spoken with a gentleman over at the True Value Hardware in America there, and he was supposed to call last week, but has not shown up yet. So that would be a good deal, like 3 bids. Well, right now we just have 1 bid from Timberline.
Yeah. We haven't released that, so no, the others come in with their bids.
Did they get a bid from Clay Woodworks at all? Did they
just for the desk? Just for the desk.
Yeah, that would be Jamie, you know. I didn't see her
Another thing we're going to have to look at, if we do 2 doors, is what's in that wall.
It'd be nice to have a door or something in between there.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if we just maybe don't do a window, because there is an outlet there, and then the cable runs in there. I mean, I don't know how much more extra it is to move it. I mean,
pretty well moved out. I just got one more desk in there, and they're trying to work out
the internet. Well, that's kind of what they're waiting on.
So we can go ahead and take the wall off on that side and see what's behind that wall.
Yeah.
We could probably just, I mean, I could cut it out.
Yeah, if you want to come out, get out and just
next week,
cut it between the studs and see. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least one side of the wall would have cut.
Yeah, then we'll actually know what's in there.
Yeah, that room, yeah.
Just see what careful. There might be some wires in there. Yeah. Yeah. At least, you know, we can find out. And the only way we're going to do something is get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Modern.
Design.
Yeah, modern
design.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they would do doors as well, not just the desk.
Yeah, they do everything.
They did do something. They pulled a permit for the old city hall, and they, is that what you're talking about? Or? Oh, Milky's. No update on that. But anyways, what I brought it up, city hall. They're going to be fixing that in phases.
Yeah, I've seen that. They did a good job on that one side, but then on Milky's building, that brick is.
Yeah, nothing on that. She's not doing nothing, from what I understand, because she's trying to sell it, so she's not going to put any money into it.
Well then.
She shouldn't have occupancy up above.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a safety thing.
Well, that's what we'd have to have look at to see if it is an occupancy. If it's that bad enough, you'd have to revoke her occupancy.
And
I can follow up with an inspector on that.
Yeah. And you have to follow up with them on that garage.
Well, that's it's whole part of, you know, updating the public nuisance. Well, I talked to, it's American Legal through the league that does the ordinances. They'll consolidate them. So
it might not be a bad idea to put a committee together versus sitting here at a council meeting and going through ordinances for an hour or two. I don't know if we want to just have the PC personnel committee do it, or if we want two others that want to volunteer and sit on the committee and go through them. Because I believe the real, to be honest, we're almost due for a whole codification of our ordinances, which, you know, that's buco bucks. But that's something to consider budget maybe for next year. But for this year, I think the main focal point is on public nuisances. I believe we talked about utility billing and drones, correct? If there's anything else, let me know, and, you know, I can add it to the agenda. But I'm just starting to get some ordinances on drones from bigger cities.
Anybody on council know about wanting to tackle ordinances? If you have two council members, and you can work with Jeremy to do it, that'd be great.
Otherwise, if no one wants to volunteer, then we'll just use the personnel committee. Just if anybody else wants to, it doesn't matter. That down the vote for the council.
Well, that was one of my question. I apologize to you that I haven't gotten up here. We're so busy.
That's all right.
It's hard for me to get up here, and I was going to ask you the other day, was going to stop me and ask you, and I didn't know you
ever. I think we just do, like Cameron said, do a committee that way.
I've been on West.
Get copies, and then we can just sit down and look at it, and then we're only dealing with three or four really ordinances, probably maybe just some amendments.
Right, and we'll move forward with the personnel committee doing that, but we'll bring that to council and make it going forward. Anything else on some trevish?
Tamara, was there Mr. Steer here on trying to get permits or something, or wanting to know what to do on the permits for building the garage?
Gene, yes. He wanted to redo it. Yeah, he wanted to redo his garage. Yeah. And he can only redo it to existing.
You weren't here at the end of the
year.
Yeah, he talked with me.
But you got it straightened up.
Yep.
Okay, thanks. I told him I'd check into it.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. I don't have anything new, so I would look for a motion to adjourn unless there's something pressing that we can discuss. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Everyone say aye. We're adjourned at 8:13.